Let me also just start off by going and thanking Zev for asking me to spend time with everyone in the Kela to go and discuss the last Perek of Psachim. It's wonderful to see so many people taking on the Limud HaPerek. Even more so, though, Limud Daf Yomi more broadly, very impressive within the Kela. May you all go Mechayel El Chayel in your learning individually and also under the leadership of Rabbi Jaffe as a community. tonight, let me go and delve into some of the most one of the most important Jews of all time. We're going to take a look at the central role that he plays in the last Perek of Psachim, and also how the role he plays is a bit of a microcosm of his life. I'm talking about Rabbi Akiva, and we'll see that three central aspects of his life are amply represented here in our Perek. To understand the things that he brings to the Perek, we'll also tap some sources from elsewhere in Shas. As we were going saying before, that there's a lot of context that you need a lot of times to be able to go and understand it, and a lot of times it could come from elsewhere within Shas. And so we'll bring those together with the Daf highlights. Let's go and start off first with Rabbi Akiva and a little bit of his background. Rabbi Akiva, his father, he's Akiva ben Yosef. Who was Yosef? Yosef was actually a ger, and it's particularly impressive because this was at a time when the Romans were trying to stomp out all Yiddishkeit from Eretz Yisrael, and to have someone still want to step forward and become a ger in those in that context gives us a little bit of the insights into what was making Rabbi Akiva tick a little bit. Rabbi Akiva was also born 50 years before the destruction of Bais Sheni, and so a very pivotal time in the life of Bnei Yisrael. An interesting thing that comes earlier in Psachim, not just this week that we are going and doing, but Psachim on Mem Tet. Rabbi Akiva himself goes and tells his Talmidim about his early antagonism towards the Chachamim. He goes and says that if you would have seen a Chacham, you would have bitten into him like a donkey. And the Perushim there talk about how, why wasn't it a dog that he was going and doing it, that the donkey pierces through bone. That was how much he was at the other end of the spectrum in terms of the respect for the Chachamim. And it's one of the other things that we'll go and see some irony when we get into his Limud HaTorah. About seeing the respect for the Chachamim that he brings to it. It's also a little ironic, that comparison between the donkey and the dog, because his first job was going and working for someone named Ben Kalba Savua, Kalba being a kelev. He was a poor shepherd. Ben Kalba Savua was one of the richest men in Yerushalayim at that time. He had a daughter named Rachel, and Rachel saw the midos that Rabbi Akiva was had in him, that Akiva at that time had in him. Saw the potential in him, and she proposed to him. We can go and put this on the list of the women playing a central role in Jewish history. She was the one who proposed to him that she would marry him, but on a condition that he would go and learn Torah, because he was a total ignoramus when it came to that. And we'll see one example a little bit later about how much of an ignoramus he was. And at first he resisted, but then he saw, and there's a little bit of the image we can go and use as we take a look at the rest of Rabbi Akiva's life. The slow dripping of water onto a stone and how it was making an impact. And he decided, if I can go, able to start making inroads in learning Torah, then I might be able to go and have some way that I am changed, that I might be able to get better in the direction that Rachel wants me to. And so with his encouragement, after they went and got married, he went and left for first 12 years and then another 12 years to go and learn. And so the three things that we're going to go and take a look at here, we're going to see through the eyes of our Perek and some of the things that Rabbi Akiva talks about and we see him experience. Three things are going to be pretty core. The Perek, in some ways, giving us a microcosm of Rabbi Akiva's life. And so, first off, we were just talking about the limud that he was bringing to it, and also the flip side of it. You learn and then you teach, the chinuch side of what he was bringing to it. We'll also see some echoes of that poor life that he had early on, the poor shepherd, and his attitude and his perspective on aniyim. And then the final one, a little bit of an echo of the Simchas Yom Tov, being able to go and see the Simchas HaChaim that Rabbi Akiva brought to it, a very different perspective to life that he was going and bringing. And so let's go and start off first with going and taking a look at the learning side of him. This is coming from in our week, this week in the Daf, this is coming from Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. This is where Rabbi Akiva is going and giving seven bits of advice to Rabbi Yoshua Beno. He's giving it to his son, Rabbi Yoshua. This is what most of the Mefarshim believe, is Rabbi Yoshua ben Charcha, who appears elsewhere He's quoted four times in Mishnayos. There's a bunch of dialogue that they have about why was he called Ben Korcha instead of Ben Akiva. Korcha happens to mean bald. That was a nickname that they had for Rabbi Akiva. And so a variety of things that he's going and telling his son, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Korcha. And it's going and driving home a bit of his seriousness about learning. And so first off here, B'ni Alte She Begova Shel Ira V'tishne. Don't go learn at the high point of the city, where people frequently go, and they'll go and bother you. They're going to go and interrupt your learning. Interesting perspective on what a gadol is supposed to be going and doing. It also belies a little bit that we'll see with the Aniyim and Rabbi Akiva's involvement with them, but also underlines the seriousness with which he went and viewed the learning. V'altador be'ir shurashea talmidei chachamim. Don't go and live in a city where the leaders are talmidei chachamim. And the Ben Yoyadah says that they'll grab you to be a leader, and they're going to take time away from your learning. And so this is where we're going and seeing him going and instilling in his son the need to focus like a laser on his learning. Right after that, in the sugya, also a very amusing one to me, and not coming from Rabbi Akiva, but from Rebbe to Rav Asi, don't live in a city run by a doctor. And so we can go and open that up for a discussion later on, but this is going and driving home his the ways in which he's very serious about his learning. We'll see, though, that there's some very telling major exceptions. Two of them on our daf, one of which is going to be very central to what we're going to look at. But let's first go and look elsewhere in Shas. Just one more other aspect, very interesting about Rabbi Akiva's learning. This is going to the first Masechta of Shas. This is from Brachos. This is from one of my favorite few dapim within Shas. This is coming from Brachos Daf Samach Beis, and it's talking about Rabbi Akiva and something he brought to his learning beyond just the base medrash. And it talks about that one time he actually went and followed one of his rabbeim, Rabbi Yeshua, into the bathroom. And he goes and lists three things that he learned from going and observing his rabbi in the bathroom. And down at the bottom here, Amar Lo Ben Azai, one of Rabbi Akiva's talmidim, Rebbe, what chutzpah you had! How could you ever go and do that to your rebbe? And an immortal five words that Rabbi Akiva said to him that I've remembered ever since when I first was learning this in yeshiva. Rabbi Akiva Amar Lo, Torahi, Belil Mod Anitzarech. I've got to go to all extents to be able to go and learn Torah. There's the learning from the book, there's the learning in the base medrash, there's the experiential. Being able to go and observe my Sarab, being able to go and see what they actually go and do as being a critical thing, where I'm going to be able to go and really get my arms around Torah and everything they have to go and learn about it. A little of the punchline comes right after that in Brachos on that daf. Ben Azai, who was going and asking him that question, then did the same thing to Rabbi Akiva, following him into a very private place and going and learning out three things also from it. Apparently Rabbi Akiva understood where Ben Azai was coming from because Ben Azai eventually became his son-in-law. So I think he was willing to go and be forgiving him for going and violating his personal space or along those lines. But it also gives us a little bit of a lens on his seriousness that he went and brought to his learning. If we go back to our daf now and go and take a look on, this is on Kuf Lamed Amid Aleph towards the top, we see two exceptions to when Rabbi Akiva was willing to violate that nonstop learning that he was going and doing. 2 days a year that he was going and doing it. Rabbi Akiva never said it's time to leave the base medrash except for Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippurim. Now let's go and focus on the Erev Pesach piece. Some of the things that came up before. Erev Pesach, first off, he kicked out all of his Talmidim. The Rashbam says why. The fathers should go home and put their kids to bed, so they would go and take a nap and they'll be able to go and stay up for the Seder. So that was the first of the reasons that we had for why he was going and violating his learn 24/7. The second one is presumably after their naps, something else that came up before, that he would go and distribute down at the bottom here the parched grain and walnuts. He was the shul candy man on this one afternoon that he went to the kids, shelo yishnu v'yishalu, that they should not sleep and instead be able to go and ask the questions. The core thing about the Haggadah, the telling to your kids, the educating them, the chinuch part, being able to go and make sure that that's going to be able to go and happen, of passing on to the next generation about what happened to us in Mitzrayim, and that was where Rabbi Akiva was willing to go and violate that. There's also a couple of things in terms of, there's one aspect of his limud that we can go and be able to see. Let's go and take a look at a second one in terms of his style of learning. For this next piece of what we're going to take from our daf, Two steps that it's going to take for us to go and understand the Gemara from this week. So first off, very famous story. This is from Menachos on Daf Chaf Tet. Rabbi Akiva comes into a story that Rabbi Yehuda is going and telling about when Moshe went up Lamarom, when Moshe went up to Shamayim, and he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu going and tying crowns onto the letters of the Torah. And he says, Rabbi Shalom, what are you doing that this is going to be something that you're spending time on, that this is so important? And Hashem said to him, Ativ yod besof kamadoros, down the road there's going to be Akiva ben Yosef. And he is going to go and he is going to be Doresh, a kotz v'kotz. He's going to be able to be Doresh every little thing in the Torah, tilim v'tilim shel halachas. He's going to derive all sorts of halachas on the basis of it. It's several of the things that actually are a unique thing that Rabbi Akiva was bringing to his day. Back then, most gedolim, the standard approach that they would follow, was captured a bit by Rabbi Yishmael, something we say every day, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, his 13 midos, she'atorah nidreshet bahen, broad ways that we can go and be able to learn rules. Rabbi Akiva would go and focus on every extra letter, every extra word, everything that we can go and be able to derive it from. And he also showed, as Shem was going and saying to Moshe, he was able to go and show how all the laws in Torah Shebaal Peh have their basis in the Torah Shebichsav. And so this is where Rabbi Akiva, the way in which his learning and the innovations that he was able to go and bring to it, we go and see a key piece of that coming out again in earlier in Pesachim. This is from Chaf Beis Amud Beis. Shimon HaUmsoni, who went and made his career out of taking every S, every Aleph Taf word, there happened to be several thousands of them in the Torah, he would be going and explaining in the same vein as Rabbi Akiva, became in some ways following in his path, going and explaining the significance of every single one of them. And Pesachim Chaf Beis goes and tells us about when he ran into a problem. He ran into Es Hashem Elokech HaTirah. What can we go and learn from this? And Shimon HaUmsoni ran into a major problem that made him, in some of one of the most intellectually honest feats in history, he essentially said that my hypothesis that every S can be learned from must be wrong. And so he went and said, I'm throwing out all my work, my life's work of being able to go and explain all of these. It must have been for naught. I must be wrong about it. And so Talmidim were saying, what are you talking about? You know, Kishem Shigabati Schar al Adrisha, Shimon HaUmsoni is saying back to them, the same way that I went and got the schar for being Dorish these, may I also be getting the schar from being able to, willing to walk away from this. Rabbi Akiva to the rescue. Ad Shabbat Rabbi Akiva, you're at the bottom of Darash. Es Hashem Elokech HaTirah. You go and fear Hashem. This is to go and encompass also our fearing Talmidei Chachamim. And so this is where Rabbi Akiva was able to go and take that limud and be able to go and extend it to Talmidei Chachamim, that we then on our daf can go and see that this is where we have an echo of what was coming up. This is on Kuf Chet Amud Aleph, about Abaye was going and saying, was going and taking a look at the reclining question, and who doesn't recline? And Rav Yosef was going and saying to Talmidim, you, Talmidim, don't recline. Why? Because Mora Rabach Kimora Shamayim. You have the same fear of your Rebbe, like it is the Mora Shamayim, Rabbi Akiva, the one who went and innovated with Shimon HaUmsoni, that you are the ones who don't go and recline because of that Mora Shamayim. And we can go and see the indirect and at two levels, the S's that Rabbi Akiva was bringing to it, and also the lesson he learned out about the Mora Shamayim and Yerubayim that fit in there, where you can see that at the Seder when it comes to the reclining and the halachas around who is supposed to and who is not supposed to. And so that echo that we have of the Morabach Kimora Shamayim that was coming from there. Let's go and shift gears now to the second of the pieces. Now we've seen a little bit on the Limud side. Let's go and take a look at the Aniyim. So let's go also go back into his biography. Let's go in particular back into Ben Kava Savua, his father-in-law. So when Ben Kava Savua found out about the marriage between his daughter Rachel and Akiva, the ignorant shepherd, he took a vow to throw her out of the house and to disown her. And he went and promptly did so. This is what the Gemara in Ksubas is going and telling us about the rest of that story. And after that, the young new couple, destitute, they would sleep on straw. They would have to go, Akiva would go and pick it out of her hair every morning. And he promised her that if he ever became wealthy, he would go and buy her a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, a golden ornament with the skyline of Yerushalayim. And this is where he was going and experiencing firsthand what true Anius was. And the Gemara in Kiddushin, on Chaf Zion, goes and uses a very memorable phrase to go and focus on later on in his life, what Rabbi Akiva was going and doing with his relationship with the Aniyim, refers to him as the Yad of the Aniyim, the arm of the Aniyim. He would be going, collecting everything for them, being able to go and bring to them tzedakah, being able to go and have it be an easier way that he was very much empathizing with the challenges they had in life. And he was the one who was very much translating that into a lot of the things that he was going and doing. In fact, it also translated into his chinuch with his kids. A very memorable story that we have in Maseches Shabbos on Kuf Nun Vav, when he talks about his daughter on the day of her marriage. And as it turns out, she was actually supposed to be nifter. She was going to be going and dying on the day of her marriage. But anyway, much longer story here to it. She was saved by the fact that she had gone and given to an ani that day. Had gone and contributed to that ani on the day of her wedding. She was focused on aniim, just like Rabbi Akiva, the Yad aniim. And his daughter went and did that. And on that daf in Maseches Shabbos, where Rabbi Akiva was being dorish, staka tatzil mimavet, that mimisa atzma, that it went and saved my daughter from that to begin with. And so this is where we can go and see an element of Rabbi Akiva and the aniim. There's actually an interesting thing where he translated his empathy for the aniim into halacha within our daf. This is from Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, about halfway down. This is when he was going and teaching the seven things to Rabbi Yeshua, his son. One of the things that he said was, Asei Shabbat Cha Chol, V'al Tistarech Labriyot. A little bit cryptic, but what the Mefarshim go and say is that what he's talking about is if you have enough money for only two meals on Shabbos, but you could go and borrow for the third. So during the week, we eat two meals. And he was saying that if you don't have the money to go and buy a third meal on Shabbos, don't. Don't go and borrow that money and go into debt. That you can gain from Oneg Shabbos by having that extra meal, but you will lose a lot more from being dependent on others for tzedakah. And this is where Rabbi Akiva, having experienced this as an Ani himself, is going and translating it into halacha. However, when we're getting into the Arba Kosos, and this is why it's here on the daf within Masechet Pesachim, when it comes to the four cups, when you are going and not being able to afford the four cups, you should take tzedakah. Why? This is where Rabbi Akiva is going and telling us, Lo Nishra Alfil Rabbi Akiva, that he was saying, I say Shabbat Chol, but Mishum Persume Nisa, because of going and spreading the nace, that added on to the Oneg part means that you can be going and borrowing for it. And so being able to go and prioritize, being able to go and bring a bit of his insights from being an Ani, where we can go and see how it translates into both every Shabbos and how we go and be able to see whether we should be going out of our way to afford a Shalosh Udos, or whether on the four cups we should be going and also going into debt. Just to go and fast forward a little bit.
What's your thought on Amy's question? I had the same question. Who are we pursuing Nisa to on with the Arba Kosot?
So it's a great question because it has so many different audiences. It also goes to like the different levels of when we should be going and seeing Mesaper Sefer Mitzrayim. Now, this is actually very relevant to the COVID era. Last year, we had a lot of people having a Seder themselves. Chazal still say, you go and are Mesaper Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim to yourself, even if you are alone. And so that would be one of the audiences that we have. Then if you go and add on to it, that you go and be able to do it to someone else, your spouse and things like that. There's lots of stories about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. When he was going and giving, doing his Seder, he would be going and doing it with his wife alone, where they'd be going and doing it. And unfortunately, when his wife was Nifter, he didn't go and bring other people into his Seder. He would do it to himself to be able to go and be Mesaper to himself. And so Persume Nisa can also be to yourself, or it could be to the broader world. The people you're bringing into your Seder who have never been to a Seder, the children that you have, being able to go and be Mesaper to the children. And so there's so many different of the audiences, especially on Pesach, when we're going and doing that.
If I may interject, there is when we have the mitzvah of Persume Nisa, we make the bracha Sha'asa Nisim Labosainu, and there is a quasi phrase in the last bracha of Geula at the end of Magid, which says Misha'asa Lanu V'Labosainu Asanisim Ra'elu, etc., etc., etc. So you see There is definitely a mitzvah of Pirsum Manis at the Seder, and it's part of the bracha.
Yeah, no, multiple levels of it. Exactly right. That's great. So let me just go and give a little bit of a fast-forwarding to some better news in terms of Rabbi Akiva's life. A little bit of a story that comes from a Masechet Suvos, but also goes to put an exclamation point on some of the things we'll be going and talking about. After he returned with thousands of Talmidim and was reunited with Rachel, his wife, very memorable when he's going, this goes back to the role of the Nashim in this, Rabbi Akiva stood up in front of everyone and he said, "What is mine and yours is really Rachel's, is really hers. This is where it is the one who made it possible for all of us to become the Talmidei Chachamim in this, and it's only because of what my wife went and did." The irony is that Ben Kava Savua, who had gone and disowned her, he didn't realize who this was who was going and saying it. And he had actually come to regret how he had gone and treated his daughter. And he now was coming to this great rabbi who had come back to town to go and get his vow annulled that he had taken to go and disown her. Not knowing his Rabbi Akiva, he asked him whether he could go and have his vow annulled, the Tarz Nadarim, for him. And Rabbi Akiva asked him, "Even if your son-in-law would know one Mishnah or one Halacha, would you have gone and did you make the vow, with the intent to do it, even if your son-in-law became a great man?" And Ben Kava Suva said, "Even if he wouldn't know even one Mishnah or Halacha, I wouldn't have done it." This goes and drives home how little Rabbi Akiva really didn't know at the beginning, how ignorant he was. Rabbi Akiva then did one of the greatest reveals in the history of Yiddishkeit, almost at the level of Ani Yosef HaOd Avichai. He revealed that it was him. And Ben Kava Savua, after being taken aback a bit, gave him half of his possessions. And finally, Rabbi Akiva was able to go and buy the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav for Rachel. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos goes and tells us about it. Now, ironically, when I was going and looking for this image of the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, I actually ran into that maybe Heshi or someone else from Yerushalmi from us will be able to know about this, but I actually ran into one of the latest developments, a major development in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav development on Rabbi Akiva Street in Yerushalayim. And so this is where we're talking about the Seder and the Talmud being brought into our modern day. This is where we have like a reenactment of Rabbi Akiva's role and the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav and the significance in his life of that turning point of being able to go and bring it to Rachel, who everyone owed their limud and the echoes that we have since then to her. So now the last thing that we're going to go get into here in terms of the Chamisha Dvarim that Rabbi Akiva went and told to Shimon Bar Yochai. This is when he's going and telling things to his Talmidim. We're going to get into a little bit of the five Talmidim that he left to the world. But this is also Keshahaya Chavush B'Veit HaAsurim, when Rabbi Akiva was in jail. Why was Rabbi Akiva in jail? That's not stated here in this daf that we're going and taking a look at on Kufyun Beis, where this is coming from. Let's go and step back to a little bit where we get some hints. This is from the other daf that I'm doing. I'm actually doing two dafim a day this cycle. The other one that we're in right now is Baba Basra, the other half of Shas away from it. This is a story from there about Turnus Rufus, a Rasha, who would get into major debates with Rabbi Akiva that have to do with the Aniyim that we were just going and talking about. In this one, he's going and asking him, if Hashem loves the Aniyim, as you say, why doesn't Hashem just go and give them what they need? And it turned into a major long debate that we have in Bava Basra Daf Yud that he's getting into. And Turnus Rufus would get very frustrated from those debates. And so this is the reason that he was actually in Beis HaAsurim. Turnus Rufus got very frustrated with looking bad in public in those debates, and he went and ordered him to go and be imprisoned. What Rabbi Akiva was going and telling to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Kishatam Lamed et Bincha, this is getting into the chinuch side of it, Lamdeu b'sefer Muga, teach him from a perfect sefer. Why? Bechata shabeshta kevan de'al al. When you have an error in one of those svarim and you go and teach the young, you're going to be teaching them wrongly, and you're going to be going and having that continue throughout their life. They're going to be going and making that mistake forever. And when it comes to that thing, that goes and brings one of the other key stories from Rabbi Akiva about one of the things when he was going, a very famous story, a very perplexing story about Pardes. This is in Chagiga Yud Dalet Amud Beis, when he was going up to Shamayim with four of the Gedolim. He was one of the four there. Elisha ben Abuya was one of the other ones. And this is from Pirkei Avos, where we have very surprising, they go into tribute to Acher, to Elisha ben Abuya. This Mishnah that's talking about what Rabbi Akiva is talking about on our daf, about how when you're going learning something and the piece of paper is blank, it is far easier for you to go and learn. But when the piece of paper is having something wrong on it and you have to go and erase it and then write back on it, it's going to be a lot tougher to go and do that. And so we have a little bit of the echo there of this thing from our daf when we go and see that. One of the other echoes, when we're talking about the simcha part of what was teed up before, the simchas yom tov, let's go and take a look at the third stool on this, about Rabbi Akiva and the simcha sachayim. We talked about his limud, the empathy for the aniyim, and now the simcha amitz challenge. And this is coming from two directions for me. One of them, back in Brachas, talks about the Rebbe that Rabbi Akiva learned with for 22 years. Brachas Chaf Beis talks about Nachum Ish Gamzu, was the Rebbe that he went and learned with. And Brachos and Daf Samech was going and talking about Rabbi Akiva as the ultimate in that story. The other direction for this is going back a little bit more than a year. So back on March 3rd, does anyone remember where they were last March 3rd? I'll give you a hint. I was in D.C. along with some of you. What were we all going and doing at that point?
APAC.
We were at APAC. What was going on March 3rd that morning at APAC? That was where... What was that?
You're trying not to get corona.
Okay, so that was the day that corona hit the Jewish community. That was the day that the young Israel of New Rochelle had the first major case within the Frum community. That was when SAR, the first high school, went and shut down. What was the daf that day? What were we going and doing? A little bit more, almost 2 months after Siyum HaShas, the beginning of this cycle. The daf that day was Brachot Daf Samach, the one that ends with Rabbi Akiva and Gamzu Latova. The story that we had with Rabbi Akiva trying to get to a town, nowhere to house him there. He is stranded outside of town. How does he react at that devastation? Nachum Ish Gamzu had drilled into him, Gamzu Latova. This has got to become something that we can go and make something better of it. Rabbi Akiva, next up. Donkey is killed is one form of companionship that's there. There's all sorts of ways that would have been devastating for us, but in that dark, Gamzu Latova drilled into him as that reflex. The candle, at least, I have a little bit of light out here. Wind blows out the candle. Gamzu Latova. His chicken killed also. Left in the dark all alone. Gamzu Latova throughout this. What Hashem was going and sending to us a signal was we're about to go and head into those dark days. And Rabbi Akiva, from keeping himself in that game, when the light came up and he was able to go and see finally why a Gamzu Latova, that first way in which he was able to go and appreciate it, that the town that he had hoped to be in was ransacked, was attacked, and the people taken captive. That would have been me. And so that's the point where he was going appreciating the Gamzu Latova when it came to that. And so this is where Rabbi Akiva can go and take some things from this. He realized then if my donkey had brayed, those marauders would have heard me. If they had seen my candle out there, and I didn't appreciate it at the time, but they would have seen me there, and they would have gone and grabbed me. And so this is where we can go and take this mindset and be able to go and see how, A, over this last year, we have to go and be able to go and take away from COVID, finding the Gamzu Latovas, of how we can go and get stronger from it and make it into something better for us. But also, some of the things that we can go and see about how Rabbi Akiva went and handled it. We're coming up with, next is going to be Sfira. Right after, when we have Pesach starting, what happened with Sfira? Well, in some ways, it was Rabbi Akiva's darkest day. He went and founded a huge yeshiva in Bnei Brak, and his Talmidim were wiped out. Devastating, but he got back up, and he developed five Talmidim, from whom most of the Mishnayos, Brisos, and Medrashos come from. Those five are mentioned in the Mishnah over 1,000 times, those five Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But it's actually when they aren't mentioned that's even more key. This is something that the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about. Stam Mishnah, the anonymous Mishnayos, those are the ones that we typically are going and posking like, the definitive statements of Halacha. The Stam Mishnayos are his Talmidim. Rav Meir is the Stam Mishnah, Rav Yehuda in Sifra, which is the Brisos on Vayikra, what we're about to go and start in the Parsha this week. Rav Shimon in Sifre, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that we were taking a look there, the Brises on Bab Midbar and Varim, those are his Talmidim that were going and rebuilding with him after the devastation. And we can also see in the Seder, this is going to be coming up, two Dapim from now on Kuftet Zion in 2 days, about how we go and end Magid. And this is an echo from the end of Maseches Makos on Chav Dalet. Famous story with the fox running through the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash. And we see Rabbi Akiva, who is going and bringing Simcha to the world, even in that devastation, and going and explaining to the Chachamim, who are around him and are ruining the day that they just saw that sight, that this is the sign that Hashem is going to bring Mashiach. That all the Nevuah that we have, if this one came true, then those are going to go and come true. And that was where they were able to take Nechama from Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, go and see the Simcha he brought, even devastation, both societally and in his personal ways. And 2 days from now, we're going to see in the Daf about how he said to be able to go and finish Magid, something that Mark was going in just talking about before, about talking about Smechim Bevinyan Irecha. May we go and be able to be brought to that, be able to have the Simcha that we had, the Enemakos, when it was the devastation in Hashem's ear and in Yerushalayim. Sasim Bavodatecha, Nochal Sham, Nepsachim Mizvachim, we'll be able to go and do the Karbanos. This is Rabbi Akiva that we should go and be thinking about at the end of Magid, as we're going and seeing the perspective of Gamzul Tova and being able to go and make out of devastation into something that's Simcha. And so just to go and take a look in terms of things that we can go and learn from Rabbi Akiva, going back through all 3 that we did, it's never too late to start studying Torah or Daf Yomi, nor is there ever a ceiling on what you can go and achieve even with a late start. Persist through the challenges that we've all been going through and that we have throughout life, the bumps in the road, get stronger from them, and we'll be able to go and follow in the steps of Rabbi Akiva, both his Limud HaTorah and also his exemplifying everything in his life, that we can go and be able to be the ultimate Yidin, to be able to go and be able to bring Geula to all of Klal Yisrael by doing this together.
Amen. Amen. Koyach, no.
Mate.
Koyach.
Thank you.
Thank you, Noah. Rabbi Akiva, usher us into this next period.
I just want to add a point, because I think that a point that Noah made, which I wanted to make and forgot to make, which is, I think it's really important today's Pesach, the Pesach that we're all going to celebrate in just 2 weeks, to really give ourselves the perspective of thinking about where we were a year ago, and that experience of having Pesach last year and the way that Noam framed it for us, but in the framework of Simcha, what does it really mean? How can Simcha be something that we appreciate even if we don't have our whole family around? And yet, how can we have Simcha? How can we be Misameach? And what does Simcha mean? What are the elements that give us each Simcha? And how can we be appreciative of the great distance that we've traveled from last Pesach to now, and to really bring that into our celebration. I hope everybody will be able to do that and really make it very special.
Amen.